Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
This next act asked me to read this. Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, and Molly Hatchet could not be here tonight, but they all had sex and are proud to announce the birth of their two-headed baby,
John and Lance.
You found the trench.
Get in the trench.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, here with you this morning on ESPN 97.5. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours, and we're going to be talking about a nice win last night. And, oh, by the way, another Rangers loss. Oh, just like I told you, the Rangers might not be that good, and the Astros are going to overtake them. The Astros could be in first place by the end of this month.
Or Seattle.
That's how bad the Rangers are.
Or Seattle.
Hey, when you get the kind of performance you got last night out of Christian Javier, how in the world are you talking about Seattle right now? Okay?
Listen, stop. Some people are going to say, oh, he allowed two runners on base every inning he pitched. Yeah, but, however, they only scored three runs against him.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Did they get the fourth against? No, the fourth was against...
He is getting to the point where he is...
Wait, no, the fourth was... Who's the reliever that gave up the fourth?
The fourth came...
Oh, Seth Martinez. Yeah. What a performance by Seth.
Well, he
oh
got out God. Of it after the run.
He got out of it.
And actually, he might not even have given up a run if Yonner comes home before he steps on first.
So, yeah, that was... There's an inexperienced first baseman.
Well, you can't put it on him. I mean, the kid is... He's got to be in the lineup. I thought Blummer put it best. He says he's got to be in the lineup, so he's got to, and he can't catch every day, so he's got to learn wherever he is how
yeah.
to play.
No, I'm just saying there's an inexperienced first baseman.
Right.
How many times in his career has he run into that situation? Probably, maybe the first time ever.
Yeah.
He hasn't played first base much, so. So, yeah, he needs to come home first.
Well,
on that
it
one.
Would be different if they told him, okay, well, you know, he was playing back too. He makes the play, and he runs all the way to first base and then tries to throw it home. I mean, if the play is going to be at home, if the force is at home, you would think he would be playing up a little closer. So I think they were just going to – they were giving up the run anyway. But he tried to make the play at home and didn't. He got the out. They got out of the inning with just one run.
How does he make a bet? That guy's got pinpoint accuracy. How does he have such a bad throw home?
Well, he was on the run, you know, after the step on the base. I don't know.
It came to me yesterday – I'm sitting there lying in bed, getting ready to go to sleep, and it came to me. I want to see if you can come up with it. Diaz hits another home run yesterday, opposite field shot that, you know, it was short porch and right field. However, that's still not an easy one to poke out with a swing that he had. That did not look like a home run swing.
No, his
at all.
Pop to right is real.
Yeah, it
he's
is
got
real.
Pop. Yeah.
So he's got, would you say he has a plus arm throwing people out?
He absolutely does.
Would you say he's got better speed than your average catcher?
Oh, yeah. He went first to third. Yeah.
Dude can run.
He goes first to third because he tags up. Yeah, he can go.
Would you say he has pop in his bat?
He does. He's a 5-tool.
Who does that remind you of as a catcher?
Biggio?
Pudge Rodriguez.
Oh, okay.
I didn't really think about this, but Pudge could run. Remember, he could steal bases, too.
Yeah.
Pudge could run. He had home run pop. And he was known for being a really good defensive catcher, a guy who had a great arm.
Yeah. And he's doing it without all the other stuff that Pudge did.
Right. But I think Pudge probably started that later in his career. But you never know in that
never
generation.
Know.
But that's what he reminds me of. His game is similar to Pudge Rodriguez. He just hasn't played long enough for it to sink in. But he's got a great shot of getting 20 home runs this year as a rookie. He can run. He's got a good arm. Why not Pudge Rodriguez? Why not have a talent like... And that guy was considered, you know, the best catcher in the American League. One of the best catchers in the American League, certainly. And a guy who was a kind of a five-tool catcher, if you will.
Yep.
And so I think Yiner Diaz, who also can play first, I mean, I just the name came to me because I thought their games were actually similar when I thought about it. But Diaz with another home run, he's a rookie hitting in the middle of the lineup right now, and he's getting more and more at-bats every month. And you're right, he right now, Jose Abreu, when he comes back, I honestly don't know how Dusty handles this, because it's just, you know, between Abreu coming back and I guess Michael Brantley coming back, someone taking at-bats from Yiner Diaz just seems like, that just seems, it just seems like it shouldn't happen.
No, he's got to be on the list.
It's like taking at-bats from Bregman right now. You would never do that. Bregman's an everyday starter.
And man, Bregman's struggles against lefties continues. Although he had three hits last night and two walks.
Yeah.
So he looked well, and he had lefties too. Yeah. Paxton, you know, James Paxton has given the Astros fits
Paxton
before.
And Murphy, he saw.
But it is unbelievable how bad. Now, the Astros, I think they have 52. They've given up 5,200 runs this year. And the Red Sox have only given up 43. But the Red Sox, with the official scoring last night, on the ball that Devers, that it's hit to Devers, that he falls down, throws it wide to second base, that's a double play ball that they don't get. Yoshida misplayed the ball off of the wall.
What about the one where it just bounced off the ground ball?
That's Bregman's shot.
Bregman's that ends up in left field. You know, realistically, that's also an out.
Yes, that's an out. Verdugo drops the right field ball. I mean, they are awful.
Well, and the home run by Yiner Diaz, maybe that's what you're mentioning. The home run by Yiner Diaz.
I'm mentioning the pop-up that he missed.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about the home run where he stumbles at the wall and like almost starts to fall.
That's a home run. That one, you okay.
But that one got out. I mean, you play it better, maybe you have a chance to make it over the wall. Kyle Tucker makes that play. But that's just showing you the guy didn't know how to track the ball well. This has been going on for a while. Boston is a bad and when you see bad defensive teams, you really recognize it. Now, Houston's not considered a bad defensive team, and yet they lead the league in unearned runs.
Yeah.
So I guess they aren't a good
This is not a good defensive team this year. This is by any standard. This
the
is not a good
first base position.
Normally, this is a really good defensive
first
team.
First as much is has taken a big tumble defensively.
Yeah.
Whether it's Abreu, Diaz, or Singleton, it's just not as good over there. Yuli was a good defensive first baseman. You've had some issues for whatever reason with Pena making some mistakes on easy plays, but you know it is nice to see the bats crank up again. It's nice to see when you're going to have to when you know. Did you see the stats for the bullpen since August 1st?
No.
Top. I mean, they're in the top three or four in every opponent's batting average, opponent's slugging percentage, earned runs allowed. Well, ERA.
The bullpen.
Not strikeouts. Yeah, the bullpen.
Said Lopez. I was like, who's Lopez?
No, the bullpen.
The bullpen. Yeah, I saw that. They're really, really good lately.
Really good since August 1st. Yep. Now, the one area, do you know the Astros are worst in the American League over the last 20 starts at striking out the opponents? The worst in the American League.
Yeah.
The lowest number.
Christian Javier again with 47. I think the number was 47 swings last night and only 8 misses. This is the Astros really coveted for forever. They've coveted swings and misses.
And he was great at that last year.
And he is just.
But if you notice, the sliders are all moving laterally across the zone. They're not breaking downward. He's not getting the sharp, you know, 2 to 8 type breaking action. He's not. Everything is just kind of. It's just kind of sliding on the same plane instead of showing people different, you know, different looks on a vertical plane. And in his fastballs, he just can't locate. Like, he's just up in the zone. He's constantly behind 2-0, it seems like, all the time.
Every time.
It is just such a battle. Every inning is a battle for Christian Javier.
So he
was up for it. He battled after giving up 3 in the first. But my gosh, can he just, like, this? The amount of toll it's got to be taken on him mentally, John, to have to grind every inning?
So his 98th pitch was in the fifth inning with nobody out. And it was a ball low to Trevor Story, but the ump gave him the call on a 3-1 count. If he misses that, he's out of the game with the bases loaded, nobody out. Instead, Story makes the out, next guy makes the out, and he gets out of that jam and gets the win when, in fact, he should have. I mean, and it's, listen, he's at 98 pitches in the fifth inning with nobody out. That's 12 outs. 12 outs for nearly 100 pitches. That's so bad right now. My
yet,
goodness.
Dusty, to his credit, Dusty wants him to get wins.
He wants like him to get a win.
He
absolutely
wants him to get wins. And Javier has gotten two wins in back-to-back. I don't know. Was it back-to-back starts? That Javier, maybe two of the last three, where he's let Javier go a little longer so he could get to that win. And I actually respected it that Dusty's trying to get him those wins. And so Javier gets into the mid-100s, no big deal. Do you know that my
two
son...
Two games ago, he got the win.
It was 2 games ago. Do you know my son... And what's his record now?
He's 9-2 with a 4-5-2.
You want to talk about... His run support is off the charts.
Look at these numbers on his last. Hold on, look at this. Look at this.
Oh, no,
5-3 earned runs, 4 2/3, 4 earned runs. This is with 105 pitches, 95 pitches, 5 innings, 105 pitches, 2 earned runs against Baltimore. That was good, but that's still 105 pitches to get 5 innings.
In
4 2/3, 102 pitches.
And we're not talking about high strikeout. By the way, usually that's with like his 9 strikeouts.
No,
and 5.
We're talking 3-2, 3-4.
He's not striking anyone
now,
out.
Tampa,
that's what I'm saying.
Tampa, he had 6 innings pitched, 104 pitches, 9 strikeouts, yeah, but he gave up 3 earned runs.
That
5 2/3, 97 pitches, 2 earned runs. 5 innings, 91 pitches, 3 earned runs. 4 1/3, 88 pitches, 8 earned runs. Wow, 8 earned runs. Holy crap. I mean, he has not really been himself. He hasn't been himself in
3 months.
It's at least 2 months now. It's 2 months. Since June, on June 15th against Washington, 6 innings, no earned runs. He just had 2 strikeouts.
Yeah. That's not himself.
What the hell happened to Christian Javier? Happened to him? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Like I said, this is for the pitching coaches to figure out. You know, maybe we need to get can anyone send secret messages to Brent Strom? Can we send him some tape? Can we get Stromy on a mobile to call in and try to explain what's going on? Because I know this. It's one thing to miss your strike zone. He's had lack of control at times, but you still have strikeout stuff. He didn't have his strikeout stuff anymore.
How many double-digit strikeout games does he have this year?
Oh, my God. Maybe one?
Two. He had 11 against the Angels, which was
April?
His last really Christian Javier game.
Is that May?
May. Uh-huh. It was in May. In April, he had 10 against the Braves.
Wow, well, that's good against the Braves.
And that was 6 innings, 1 earned run, 10 strikeouts. That's Christian Javier.
That's why I figured it had to be something physical. But all this time, and if there's something physical and Javier's not getting it worked on, then that's not good. But it just feels like, how do you go from that to this?
I don't know.
Season?
Dana Brown said it was fatigue. And
from World Baseball Classic?
No.
From postseason?
I mean, I don't know. Well, they gave him rests,
fatigue,
though.
Fatigue what? He got fatigued by June?
Yeah. No, but he was
fatigued. This all started in June.
Yeah, this all started in, it started in June. This is unbelievable. This is the guy that's supposed to be the number two starter. So many people last night. I said, I jokingly said, Christian Javier has added 12 minutes to the average time of Major League Baseball games. Dude,
Why are you joking? That's real.
No, it's not joking. It's actually, and the guy goes, he pitched good. He gave up 3 runs in 5 innings. What?
That's not.
What?
Who said he pitched good? On Twitter?
Astros baseball fan.
Pitched good. Don't say you're the big quick.
He said, one more inning and it's a quality start, he said.
What a sorry sack of humans.
Stop it. Stop saying
Don't get me mad in the first
inning. Ask those Twitter.
This is the first inning of the show. I don't need to get upset like this.
We're going to the second.
Just one more inning. He's been able to strand lots of runners on base, gang. He's been able to strand them. That's mental tempting.
You just, hey, Somebody's got to protect these guys. Somebody's got to protect Christian Javier with his big contract that he just got when he almost had a quality start. Just three more outs, he had a quality
start. He had a quality start. He was able to strand like 14 runners on base.
Holy crap, he did. All right, time for you, my friend, to talk about John Daspit.
John Daspit.
As we go to the bottom of the second.
As we go to the bottom of the first here coming up. And John Daspit is your he is your personal injury lawyer. I've said it for him. I put him on you. He's your personal injury lawyer. Why wouldn't he be? John Daspit is the one who will go the extra mile in terms of research, in terms of making sure that the depositions are done the right way. There's a lot of lawyers. Here's what they do. There's a lot of shady personal injury lawyers that their entire thing is to get through a case as quickly as possible, get a settlement, take their cut from you, and move on to the next one. That's not how John Daspit operates. Number one, he's got 10 offices in Texas, and he's got a ton of different lawyers who are there to do a lot of the work that needs to be done to make sure that all the information is brought forth, and he can get and he uses that info to get the right settlement for you. How long are you going to be out? Do you have any injuries that can require surgery? You don't want any surprises as after you sign your, you know, you sign the after you've been injured and somebody puts forward a contract and you sign and say, okay, I can't, here's my check for the settlement and I can't look for other damages against the person who hurt me, against the business, the company who hurt me through no fault of my own. That's why John Daspit goes that extra mile to make sure he has all the information before he reaches what is usually going to be a top settlement for you. And that's the way John Daspit operates. He is there for you. He passionately pursues justice for the injured. And if you've been injured due to someone else's negligence, he's going to fight for you. 713-CALL-NOW. That's the number you should have stored in the memory or put in the phone. 713-CALL-NOW or go to DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
You hooked up with it. You decided to marry it. I told you I wasn't into it. You said it didn't matter.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right. Let me ask you this question, Lance. Yeah. Let me ask you a little question, see if you know the answer to this. What do you think the odds are winning the World Series right now? What do you think the odds are?
The Astros?
No, in Major League Baseball. Who's got
I'd say Braves. Braves? 3-1.
Braves are number one.
3-1?
Braves are number one. Oh, is it?
Higher than that?
See, I'm
3-1 feels like the right odds, but
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so it goes Braves first. I don't know. I just got a list here. What's second? Who do you think is second?
Well, I mean, it's not going to be the Rangers. It's. I mean, Orioles,
Dodgers.
But although the Dodgers are facing their own injuries,
they got to go through the Braves, and then they got to go through.
I was thinking about how similar Tony Gonsolin and Christian Javier, two guys who had incredible years last year. It's like they turned into pumpkins again.
Yeah,
Gonsolin's been awful over there, and Javier, frankly, by the standards of Christian Javier, has been awful this year.
Yeah,
except he almost got a quality start yesterday.
Who do you think is third?
Probably Astros.
Astros.
Yeah.
Astros are third.
You have to. You have to.
Their percentage of making the playoffs right now is higher than the Rangers. They're at 84%. The Rangers are at 79%.
Well, think about it. who are the wild card teams? Toronto is fighting for
right
one.
Now. It's the Rays, followed by the Astros, followed by the Mariners.
But the three fighting for the spots, Astros, Astros, Toronto, and the Rays. So you've got that. And not just Toronto, but Seattle also. Seattle's in the mix. Okay, Astros are going to be ahead of Seattle. Astros are going to be ahead of Toronto. Astros and the Rays. Rays were a nice story earlier in the year, but they lost their ace. Although, you know, it's almost like, okay, they lost theirs permanently, but we've kind of lost ours too in terms of not permanent, but that's what it feels like with Fromber a little bit. But still, the Astros are hitting. The Astros have Justin Verlander now. So you move back up the charts. Astros and Orioles. Astros are going to be ahead of the Orioles. Astros have a winning record against the Orioles this year. Astros versus anybody in, I mean, we're not even going to, the dead division doesn't even matter. And now you get up to the East and the Astros versus, oh, well, we did the East. The Astros versus the, what am I missing? Hold on. Who am I missing here? Who are we missing? Who's the division? Well, Astros versus Rangers, I guess. I'm talking about their own division.
So
Astros are going to be ahead of the Rangers, who don't have the experience. So who can you possibly put ahead of the Astros? You can't put anybody ahead of the Astros in the American League.
No, well, yeah. I mean, so the Orioles are going to have the best record. They got like a five. They think there's a 5-game lead on the Astros on the Astros right now. They're 77-47.
But
Astros
realistically, who can bet on the Orioles?
They have a losing
record against the Astros.
The Astros just a game and a half behind the Rangers right now, and the Rangers have lost five straight. The Rangers are in a nosedive right now. Unfortunately, the Astros weren't able to take advantage of it with their weekend with Seattle. However, that the Astros are the third favorite, with the Orioles, the Rays, and the Rangers all having better records than them, just shows you what kind of organization this is. And I think it's been illustrated more and more. You just mentioned the bullpen, that the bullpen has been really good again. It's the best in baseball for the last over this whole month. The offense has been good, not great. It's still inconsistent. However, if Brantley returns, I still don't know where he is, what's going on. But even without him, if everybody starts to be themselves a little bit, if Jordan becomes Jordan, he's hit over 300 over his last 20 at-bats.
No, he's starting. He actually had some hits in the Seattle series. Yesterday he came up with a big
huge base hit to
knock runs in.
Yep.
He's just not hitting home runs.
Yeah. No, he isn't.
And the batting average did come down.
Bregman is getting – I can't tell Bregman. He walks so much. He's on base so much. But he's just not Bregman right now. Hopefully he will become Bregman again. Kyle Tucker has been awesome. Altuve has been unbelievable. McCormick, did you see the story by Chandler Rome? Do you know how much Chaz McCormick signed for? Chaz McCormick signed out of a D3 college – by a scout that the Astros fired, he signed for $1,000. Is Chaz McCormick one of the greatest finds on this team? Other than Jordan, who you got for Josh Fields, and the Astros knew what he was going to be. The Dodgers had no idea.
Oh, but they didn't know what he was going to be.
They didn't know he was going to be this. But however, Chaz McCormick for $1,000, mm-hmm, out of a D. How does he go to a D3 school? How does a guy that makes the major leagues do what this guy is doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
This is a great story.
Well, I mean, he's just, it's unbelievable. He's got a great chance to lead the team in home runs this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he does. He's going up against Kyle Tucker and Jordan, and I guess Yiner Diaz. But you're starting to have, you know, the multiple. That's one of the things. Seattle came in, you got all these guys with the same home run totals and climbing up, and the Orioles are doing some of that. But the Astros now with Diaz and Chaz McCormick shooting up like this, they're going to be this in the same position. It's been an unbelievable road for him. He's gotten so much better at the plate with not only plate discipline, but just ball recognition. He just recognizes balls and strikes now. It's not even about discipline. He sees the ball so much better coming out. He's got much, much better plate discipline. It used to be you threw him a high fastball, he was cooked. He'd swing it no matter where it was. And every once in a while, he'll still give you some bad swings. But his aggression at the plate, like, he never gets robbed on a swing. And that home run he hit yesterday is a classic. Cool. Blummer talked about it. I mean, he got top hand through, and that's one of those that is going to hit a ball out of a park with that much top hand, because the ball's going to dive on you.
Well, but the ball was up here.
His launch angle. He had enough launch angle where he was able to do it. So, $1,000 on a scout who was fired.
Well, so the scout found him. The Astros ended up drafting him in the 21st round, and they gave him $1,000. $1,000. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable story.
Wow, they're pitchers.
But that says something about the scout said, well, he had some speed. He goes, I played against guys in college that were a little bit like him. He had a pretty good arm. Yeah. He had some speed. I figured he could play some center field. His, you know, he didn't wow you with anything. But then this speaks for their developmental system. Mm. They are so good at developing players. I mean, look at all of these guys that come up. I saw somebody tweet the other day, I'm sick of these guys coming up and not doing anything for the Astros. And I'm like, are you lost? Are you lost? Because this organization does a better job. It does the best job in the league, as a matter of fact. 23% of their drafted guys make the big leagues. As opposed to the worst team, which is the Mets, 9% make the big leagues. That is a huge difference. And that's finding guys, recognizing talent, but more so it's developing them.
They've developed more. Look, it's one thing to have Kyle, you know, to have Kyle Tucker or Alex Bregman. These
high,
guys
high
are drafted.
Picks,
yeah. But their ability to turn Diaz over Corey Lee, there's a great example of it. Who saw before last year when we started 2022, it was all about Corey Lee. And it became Yiner Diaz. And this is a guy who is going to finish, I think he's got a chance to finish in the top four for Rookie of the Year in the American League now. Look at that. Look at what he's done. He's translated the minor leagues into the major leagues. Chaz McCormick, as you mentioned, was not considered a priority player at one point of his career at all. Look at the amount of money they signed Urquidy for, Fromber for, Christian Javier for. Look at what they have been able to do. Jeremy Pena was an early draft pick. Jake Myers plays. He's one of your outfielders. I don't know even where Jake Myers was, where he came from. Jose Altuve actually fits this mode, but it was so far back that, you know, the development started under Ed Wade's regime, I guess, is how long ago it was. But still, the Astros, their ability to develop players has been just so critical. It's been unbelievably important because if you're looking for a team of superstars, that's just typically not going to happen. They have to develop into players better than expected. How many players have performed above expectation? A very high number have over the years. Springer was an early pick. Carlos was an early pick. But they played to their draft slotting. Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, George Springer, Carlos Correa, generally speaking, they played to where they were drafted.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of it, too. Look how many early round picks in baseball don't make it, and yet they've made it. By the way, Bregman, his last five, John, has 8 hits in his last 19 at bats.
That's good.
I mean, he's been
and he walks.
That dates back to Miami.
How
yeah.
Do you know the last time Yiner took a walk?
3 walks and 3 strikeouts.
Yiner took a walk?
Sounds like it's been a while.
That's the difference between, I mean, it's unbelievable. Bregman doesn't hit lefties, but at least he walks, so he gets on base some against lefties. Yesterday, notwithstanding, he was able to hit lefties. He's got a worse average against lefties than Yiner does. Do you know how much the last time Yiner walked? He almost walked yesterday because he had 3 balls on him. He walked July 16th. Over a month ago, Yiner walked. And he's been playing on a regular basis.
Yeah.
He is unbelievable. Unbelievable. He is not. Somebody tweeted yesterday, hey, he's a rookie. He shouldn't be free swinging. He's Yiner. He free swings. What was the saying? You don't get off the island walking?
No.
You don't get off the island walking, baby. You got to swing.
Taking pitches.
You got to swing, baby.
So this has been disappointing.
Who are these people who are communicating with you? Like, as a rookie.
Astro.
Yeah, you're just making me think they sound a certain way. And, oh, you're
strong. That's your voice. That's your
in the bottom of the first.
That's his voice for everything.
Yeah. All right, 730 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 713-780-3776 is the number. We got some NFL and a James Harden update we got to get to.
Good.
Next, right here. But first, we got tequila.
Yeah, we got Maestro Nobel. Never a problem when Maestro Nobel comes along, because that means you're going to have a good evening or maybe a good afternoon. It's a sipping tequila that is made with generations of love, care, and consideration for how the product is going to be finished. It's aged properly. It's got the great ingredients. Never a burn ever. It's not, you know, or you've had different tequilas and it gives you that burn. It's an amazing feeling to have a tequila that is a top quality tequila that goes down smooth and has different notes depending on the tequila, different flavor profiles. And that's what Maestro del Bel is all about. That's why it pairs so well with so many different types of foods because they have so many different types of tequilas for you to choose from. And there's differences in each one of the tequilas, differences you can really taste. Make sure that you check it out for yourself. It's Maestro del Bel. Wherever fine liquors are sold, ask for it by name. If you don't see it carried there, demand that they start to carry Maestro del Bel and experience it for yourself.
You got something to sell? I'll buy it at selfless.com.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Offensive Masterminds running an outside zone on your intelligence. John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
And Chaz drills one deep to left field. Three-run home run from Chazzy Fizz.
Cut that fastball, and you know what that means. Hey, Ma! Get the meatloaf!
I like Blummer. Hey, you do a nice job. Todd Callis pointed it out multiple times, how bad the Orioles' defense was. James Paxton, if Devers could catch a ball, if Verdugo could catch, if Yoshida took the right route in left field, and he plays in left in Fenway, so that shouldn't be that difficult for him. The Red Sox could have won last night if they just could flash a little leather. Those were plays that big league teams make. Those are team. If you're a good baseball team, you make those plays defensively, and the Red Sox just don't. They're just bad defensively. So many errors, leading the league in errors. The Astros, however, lead in unearned runs, so that's unfortunate for them. It came to our attention that you were trying to talk in the last segment while neither of us had our earphones in.
Yeah, which is great for doing a job. Like, if I had played something, you wouldn't have heard it either. It's a wonderful way.
No.
We're just
sitting in here talking.
You're just talking to each other, not knowing what's going on. I could have said a natural disaster was occurring. You wouldn't have known because you're just watching the Astros replay. It's fine. That's a good way.
There are a lot of natural disasters going on right now.
That's true. And
fires all over, hurricanes, earthquakes.
One person in that room said a certain segment of the state is lucky because they're getting rain.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you like to get some rain today?
Well, not because of a tropical storm,
I wouldn't even mind a heavy downpour for a little bit.
You know, we could use a nice
tropical storm.
Well, I don't know
if it moves fast.
Do we have to go from drought
a tropical storm
to hurricane?
If it moves fast,
can we get somewhere in between?
And can we just get a shower?
Yeah.
Just get a shower somewhere?
Adrian Wojnarowski says this. ESPN sources say the 76ers. That was Shams Charania says this. As part of the NBA probe into his liar comment, James Harden told league investigators he was referring to Daryl Morey telling Harden he will trade him quickly following the $35.6 million opt-out in the 2023-24 per sources. The 76ers' stance now is they expect to keep Harden. So Harden claims it wasn't that he promised me a contract because, listen, I would fear for James's life if the 76ers got anywhere near what the Minnesota Timberwolves got for their tampering with Joe or their contract negotiations with Joe Smith.
Their secret agreement.
A secret agreement.
Under the table, yeah.
And you know, we know that it happened with Chris Paul. We know it happened.
It's totally legal.
Though. Yeah. That was different situation. But if you take less this year, James, we're going to sign you to a long-term big deal. That's extremely illegal. And James says, no, that wasn't it. And I'm glad for James because now he'll be able to live.
You know, I do think that James, part of it is, my guess is that James doesn't love the fact that he would be at the end of his career. This is a guy who's running out of teams. He's known as a guy who wants to leave when he wants to leave just quickly. And he'd be known in certain circles as a snitch. I don't think James loves that idea that he would be known as a guy who kind of threw an organization under the bus because, you know, people will remember that, and that'll be tied to his legacy as well. So my guess is James is kind of cleaning that little mess up. I doubt you don't go to China and say, let me say that again, Daryl Morey is a liar and I will never. That doesn't, he said he would trade you. James, obviously, if they can't get a good offer, they're not going to trade you. I don't think it was about that at all. I think there's a belief that he had something else coming. Because I remember, you know, we had a lot of discussions about how much Daryl Morey would be willing to sign James for. And my thought was, he will sign him to what his value is. But when we saw the contract, it was relatively low. Well, I mean, it was still, I think, in the 30s. But it was, you know, much lower than expected. And there is a chance that he could have said, look, just do this deal. And there may not have been a number agreed to. It could have been, and this would be legal. Hey, listen, just do this deal and we'll take care of you on the next one. I don't think that's illegal.
I don't know what the league rules are on that. I don't know that you could promise somebody. But listen.
Was it legal? Well, I won't say this one.
Well, I think Kevin McHale was dead on. You could promise the guy anything if you're the general manager. But if the owner goes, well, we ain't giving him that. I don't care what you promised him. Which means two things. That the owner's pretty smart, and the owner is the one making the call. And secondly, he ain't all in on Daryl Morey anymore. Because a lot of owners will let the general manager do whatever. Well, this owner can't be all in on what's happened with Daryl Morey and this basketball team because they can't get out of the second round. And James Harden, if I'm the owner, I would have done exactly, if that was the case that the owner did with Daryl Morey and told him, no, you ain't signed him to a long-term deal. I've trusted you on James Harden. I've watched James Harden now. I've watched what James Harden does. I've heard what Doc Rivers has said about him. I see how James plays in elimination games. There's a big enough sample size for me to know now. This guy ain't bringing us no championships. So we ain't committing long term just because you said so. So James is saving himself here, and he's saving the organization by saying that it was just about the trade as opposed to any contract that he was promised. He's saving the organization, and he's actually saving his own life, I think.
It could be.
Yes.
That's the one city you don't want. Here's the two places you don't want that kind of smoke. Raider fans in general, Oakland, and of course, Philadelphia fans in general. And I'd say Philadelphia fans in general are that's the one fan base, because they can get you for the Eagles, the Phillies, the Sixers, or the Bruins.
Flyers.
Philadelphia Flyers.
Tell it to Denzel Mims.
I ain't like that dirty ass trash ass city.
Let him come.
He ain't scared.
Wait until Well, when's the last time he was in Philly?
Well, he's not in the league right now. That's the problem for him.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he made that choice. Where is he? Witness protection.
That's fine.
Witsec?
That's fine calling it a dirty ass trash ass city, but you can't hurt their teams, okay?
I ain't like that dirty ass trash ass city.
Hence was Denzel Mims. Well, after he didn't get drafted by the Eagles, right?
He went on a visit to see what the city was like. And after he wasn't drafted, they asked him about it. He goes, nah, I don't like that dirty ass trash ass city.
I thought that was during a stream, a Twitch.
It was a stream, but it was after. But they talked about his visit there, and he was very somewhat public about not liking it. And then when asked, he said this:
I don't like that dirty ass trash ass city.
Yep, that's Philadelphia. You crumb bum. You crumb bum.
Yeah, be careful.
What is
that?
Crumb
bum. That's Philadelphia. Like,
yeah.
Dirty and trash ass city?
I'm not a big fan. I've been there. Cheesesteak's overrated. What? Okay.
Honestly, you don't plan on going back?
No, I don't plan on ever going back. Why would I go back?
I like that dirty ass trash ass city.
Yeah. I ain't about that.
Well, as long as you're not going to go back, you can say all these things.
I will go back to Damaris, and I'm going to watch games. And, oh, by the way, we got games this weekend. Dell, you got to preview this weekend's game.
I thought Five Star was.
Is Five Star joining us this week?
No.
Is he?
Right?
Yeah, he's joining us on Friday.
Oh, it's Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he won't be here.
He usually come on Thursdays?
Thursdays, he said.
Okay, yeah, on Thursday then.
Yeah. We're going to have Five Star's picks. We got big games like Navy and Notre Dame. Sam Houston is playing.
Okay. When we come back, I'll mention this. We've now normalized something that I want to talk about.
Okay. Right now, I'm talking about Chastain Ford. I stopped by there yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I saw Patrick and I saw Justin and Patricia and all of the great people over at Chastain Ford. Just stop by, say hello. It is the best. I mean, I'm telling you, these people are the best. These people are going to give you the best deal. You don't have to be talked to about them on the radio to get the best deal that you're going to get. Every single person that walks in gets the same treatment. They're not going to mark up. They're not going to add on. They've got vehicles on the lot that are ready for you, pre-owned vehicles, certified vehicles, gold certified vehicles ready for you. They've got transits that are ready to be customized. If you have a work fleet and you need them to fix it, they will come to you. It's unbelievable how good the service is. If you've got an issue with any vehicle, you're going to get their service department's utmost attention. You're going to get the best in service. You're going to get the best deal that you could possibly get. They're going to find the best financing that they get. It happens every single day with every single person that comes there because you join the Chastain family. You're looking for the best way to get into that Ford car, truck, or pre-owned vehicle. Go to ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.com on the Chase Long.
I've got a Chase Long in my dressing room and a pack of warm beer that we can consume.
John plus Lance equals a damn good start to your day. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
All right, 748 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 to come on in here and hang out with us. Whatever you want to talk about, we've been talking mostly Astros baseball, but whatever it is you would like, you can do that as well. Will Anderson, he graded out as the best rookie first round. Pro Football Focus had the first rounders and how they graded out in week two of the NFL season. And Will Anderson graded out the best. He looked, you know, on that sack, he didn't get blocked. You know, nobody blocked him. Mm-hmm. So that's
their fault.
No. I love that when you don't block somebody that's, you know, really athletic and really good. I saw that all the time with Mario Williams. I was amazed at how often that happened. The guard was supposed to get out, right, Del? All right.
Yeah,
so
it might have been a tough
up in the middle.
Might have been a tough block either way.
It's going to be a tough block.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough block. I just don't like – I mean, you got a guy right over. I know that you have to shift the – I get that. It just is amazing to me how complex they make it. There's a guy right there that could block him, but they decide to go this way.
All right,
Hoffy. Guard out to,
okay, Hoffy. I know. Yeah.
I mean, no. Hoffy, you can't move from left tackle to left guard.
Left guard is very difficult.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
No. But blocking schemes amaze me sometimes at how intricate and how difficult they make them.
You're asking a 320-pound man to shift and get around all that garbage to get to Will Anderson to make that block.
A guy who's as fast
as good. Now, some of that also can be on the quarterback making certain protection calls when the front changes versus what you have. The phrase, he understands how to, quote-unquote, get himself protected. There are certain calls where quarterbacks see the front and they have to audible to a different protection call. And I don't know if that was the case or not, but we have seen this for years and years where J.J. Watt ends up on a tight end. And you just think, how in the world does that happen? Or you have a full running speed Will Anderson. He gets to charge up the engines and go up against Salman Ahmed or whatever his name is, Salvin Ahmed, who's just some guy.
Saban Ahmed.
I did not have a great grade on, and I was right on him.
He's been in the league quite a while now.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
What do you mean?
It just doesn't make sense.
That he's still in the league?
The coin has spoken. He should be out of the league.
Whoa.
What? Why are you trying to take that man's job away from him?
The coin has spoken.
Well, you know why? Because he probably doesn't like my draft profile of him.
So
why is he trying to take my
job? So he has outplayed your draft profile of him, and it's his fault?
I don't know if he has or not. I have to check it. Would you like for me to read my entire draft profile?
No, not really. No. What's the dew point?
Okay, high, 78% this morning.
Neat stuff.
I check it out. I check
neat
it every
stuff.
Morning.
Neat
do you
stuff.
Guys want to know one of the places you can go for the best dew points if you want to find it? Now, I can't find it in advance, though.
Okay.
So I can't really plan
shame.
For my humidity.
Yeah, so let's move on from that forever. Let's talk.
Oh, no, I have to pay off. I said the normalizing of. Yeah.
Well, we were talking about college football in this weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Week zero.
Yeah.
Why are we calling it week zero? Just call it week one. If it's the beginning of the football season, no, because, where else do you ever do this?
No, 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 no. Only a certain amount of teams, and usually it's no, there are no. Notre Dame is the, okay, so Navy's playing Notre Dame. UTEP, Jacksonville.
But games are being
UMass,
played.
You know what the ESPN primetime game is? UMass, New Mexico State.
I'm fine
That's
with,
week zero.
I'm fine with that, but zero is equal to nothing.
Well,
it has no value. It has no numeric value. Zero.
Zero.
There are actually games being played here.
Week one is when all of the teams in college football
Then change
play.
Your schedule. I'm tired of this week zero stuff. Out.
Well,
hold on. Where's my coin?
Football players are now wearing the number zero, so zero's in now.
Yeah, zero is a new number. Yeah.
That's actually one of your first good arguments.
Yeah.
One of my first.
What about Gilbert Arenas?
He was a
Damian Lillard.
Agent Zero who stole money for decades?
Yeah.
Damian Lillard.
Yeah, exactly. You're making my point. He was the originator of the sleeping bag.
Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard, all wearing zero.
Yeah, what about
Jason Tatum?
Kenny Burrow. He wore double zero. Now we're going to have a double zero week.
Yeah, next year when their game's on
we're not doing double
on August 19th.
When it's August 2nd.
A double zero double week.
I got to get my coin.
We're double
coin.
Zero.
Yeah.
So, Dell, we have any ins? Okay. Navy, Notre Dame, UTEP, Jacksonville, UMass, New Mexico State,
USC,
Ohio, San Diego State.
USC, San Jose State.
Hawaii, Vanderbilt. San Jose State at USC, mm-hmm. Pac-12 Network.
Well,
that's a problem
for the final year.
That's a problem.
The Big Ten's team is going to be on the Pac-12 Network for week zero.
Yes, yes. Florida International, Louisiana Tech. See, it's week zero because there's zero interest.
But there will be enough.
It's week zero interest.
Well, no, Notre Dame and Navy in Ireland's fun, I guess. You get to see, what's his name, Sam Hartman, the transfer from Wake Forest, to see if he could bring some energy to a Notre Dame offense that hasn't had any in quite a while now. They'll probably look the same. That's that Walmart brand power spread offense they like to run because they don't really have any great wide receivers. But he's probably the best quarterback they've had.
Walmart brand.
Yeah, because, you know, they want to run a power spread like Ohio State does and other teams who call them – and Alabama will call themselves a power spread. Notre Dame tries to do that too. Hell, Alabama took Tommy Reese, the former Notre Dame OC. So you can see the similarities. But their wide receivers aren't very good, and the quarterback play hasn't been very great. So is Walmart brand. Great value brand, power spread.
Power spread, Walmart. Yeah. Walmart. Look at next weekend.
Somebody said we are trying to appeal to the Brits. The first floor in that backwards country is floor zero. So now we have week zero.
Are we trying to?
Actually, floor zero at the ground floor, isn't that actually right?
It would make
that
sense.
Technically would
that
be
would make
right.
sense. The ground floor should not be floor
The ground
one.
Floor is not a floor. It shouldn't be a one. The first. This is the first floor. Actually, it should be zero.
But I don't think we're appealing to the right. Brits. On this.
Well,
week zero is before you start. If you're on the ground floor, you haven't started. Once you go up one, maybe we're
like
doing it wrong.
It's like your first birthday.
Yeah. You don't start off at, well, I was born, I'm one.
No, you start at zero.
Yeah, you start at zero. You know, maybe that's the one thing they have right. Not the metric system, obviously.
Or letting Everton stay in the Premier League.
Well, that'll be taken care of soon enough, Del. It's going to be a long, arduous run. To relegation
38
this year.
Games. Well, 30,
we were beating 4-0 this week, John.
You guys,
it's so bad.
You guys stink.
Like, they get a new stadium next year, and I plan on going next year. And you know what I'm thinking? Here's how I'm positioning to myself.
What's the dew point?
No. This is how I'm positioning
That's what I'm
to
thinking
myself.
Right now.
I can literally
right now,
go
I'm
over
thinking,
and get
I
a ticket.
I wish he was talking about the dew point.
I can
no, you
go
don't.
Over and get a ticket for cheap because we'll be in the championship with a brand new stadium.
It'll cost less to go to
You'll be there with us, too.
Nuh-uh. Yeah. We'll find a way. Fulham will stay up.
Would be.
John, you think you would, but you heard the DuPont conversation. You don't want to go back.
It's better than this.
No, it isn't. You've heard both. No, it isn't.
Better.
Because the DuPont thing lasts for minutes. This only lasts about 35 seconds.
I know. Everton's going to get relegated.
Let's talk about the Ryder Cup and who Zach Johnson.
Oh, DuPont. My God. DuPont. Give me some DuPont.
I think I just hurt my sciatic nerve.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Jonathan Taylor on the other side. But first, we're going to talk
Is he on the Ryder Cup team?
He's...
Well, maybe he has a better chance making Ryder Cup than the roster. Maybe being there for week one. I've got a bad feeling that he's about to be injured. And I also, you know, he left for personal reasons the other day, and the team excused him. Jonathan Taylor, well, we'll tell you what's going on with Jonathan Taylor. It doesn't look like it's going to end well between another running back and a team. Which running back's happy with their team? Zero?
Zero. Zero.
Derrick Henry.
Josh Jacobs. Okay, we got a lot to talk about. Yeah. We'll do it on the other side. We got Texas Custom Patios.
So when I go out and I look at I retrofit my kitchen, but you can just have your kitchen built at the same time your patio's built. Let me give you an example of how that will change everything for you. When you're out there and you've designed, let's say you've got plenty of space and they can design an island for you where people can sit down and there's a television in the kitchen area right behind you where you might be cooking so they can watch games and sit there at the island, and you've got a grill, you've got the vent hood that runs all the way through the pitched roof, and you know, you're making burgers, you're making steaks, you're making your beer butt chicken, ribs, whatever it is that you want to make. You've got music on in the background, you got the game that you can watch, you got music, and you've got people, neighbors from around the neighborhood coming over to experience that with you. Maybe it's the fellas. Maybe it's your fantasy football league. You're hosting your own fantasy draft this year outside on your patio. Maybe a little warm, but you can do it. Hey, that's what Texas Custom Patios can do. They can help you make great memories, and they do it by building the best looking outdoor living space and patio that you're going to find. Best materials, best quality workmanship, and of course the very best appliances as well. You're going to absolutely love it. It's going to add dollar for dollar value to your home and of course value to your life. It's TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hear your family.
I don't have friends. I got family.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.